they feel will help kids' graduate rates go up. We also asked the survey takers to rate services that Oakland should offer from extremely important to not that important. We have collected more than 400 surveys and still are collecting more now. 90% or more youth believe these programs are either very important or extremely important, which is teaching youth how to get a job, helping with domestic abuse, homeless youth shelters, school wellness center with that provide health care and mental health, life skills programs, and so we feel that a wellness center should help be perfect for kids because it helps the students with staying on track. And we ask for life coaching as well because it benefits a way for students to help emotional and verbal states stable. A wellness center at the most needed high schools. Also, wellness centers will be on campus for schools, and then life coaches will work inside for the wellness center. Also, wellness centers also help physical, financial, and mental support, and all as well for life coach. They help kids finish school, find jobs, help with resources, and life coach helps students individually. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pranasia. Next, I see, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced your name, Yeah,
Anad. No, it's fine. Well. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. This is Ianad Burrell, Chief Executive Officer at Youth Uprising, wanting to share a couple of things about our programming that's open right now. For spring break, we've been open all week. Various activities every day. On Friday, our entire skate park, roller skating, is going to be happening from 3 to 6. Also teaching dance outdoors from noon to 12:30. Also starting our job readiness program begins at the end of this month. Anyone can go to our website and sign up for an orientation. Orientations are April 12th and the 14th. Resume writing, job readiness, how to prepare for an interview, all of those skills. Our cohort is starting at the end of the month, open to anyone to sign up. We have full capacity. And lastly, our building is open. Programming is open and happening. In the area of our multimedia, all of our music studios are open right now. Our podcast room is open. Our dance studio is open. So anyone, any student, young person that would like to utilize any of our arts and culture in the building, welcome to do that. We're open until 5:30. And those will be the hours for now until the summer, and they will be expanded until then. Website, youthuprising.org. If you need to reach me, Ianad, Y-A-N-A-D, at youthuprising.org. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Do we have any other speakers for item 2 open forum? I'll give one more last call just to double check and make sure we don't have anyone else that would like to speak before we move on. All right, and if that's all we have for open forum, I'll turn it back over to my co-chair.
Awesome, thank you, Langston. And so at this time, committee members, we're gonna go the approval of prior meeting minutes. They were sent out. I hope that you've had a chance to review them. I'll give you a minute or two to just look over them as well. Also, Caitlin is scrolling down on the screen. And then at some point, we'll accept a motion to approve.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I read the minute. I move to approve them with the necessary corrections.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Awesome. We'll just go around and ask just for record purposes that we note who has approved them and voted in favor. So we know Bill Riley, we know Langston Burke, Budenhagen, Sophia Guerrero.
Me too.
Okay, Kimberly.
Yes.
Awesome. And I believe that is it. And then myself, Tatiana Kwamalele, yes. So that means that meeting.
This is Jorge, District 5 Adult Rep.
Awesome. Yes. Jorge, awesome. Thank you so much for letting us know you were here. And we have marked down that you voted yes to approve the meeting minutes. And then myself, I vote yes. So that means that our meeting minutes are approved as submitted. And I will turn it back over to my co-chair.
All right, I'm just going to turn it back over to staff. But our next item on the agenda is an update on OFCY strategic planning and ad hoc strategic planning subcommittee. And I believe our wonderful director, Ms. Taylor, will take it from here.
May I ask a question before we move to that item?
Of course.
Yes.
So is this going to be a lengthy item? And I only raise that because I know that several people are going to leave before 7. And I was wondering, should we move to the action item? If this is not a long item, then it's fine.
Can we go back to the agenda? Because I think the next item on the agenda is the mid-year report. Langston, I think you're speaking to
Langston. I was reading off of the next agenda. I'm so sorry. I was reading.
Oh.
Totally right.
Yeah.
Mid-year report for fiscal year 2020-2021 prepared by SPRA.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I will just briefly talk about the mid-year report. So that we can move into the approval of grant renewal recommendations and the detailed memo and grants list. So the mid-year report was prepared by OFCY's evaluator. And if you stop right there, okay. Prepared by OFCY's evaluator. As you can see, there is actually a summary, which the evaluators call the mid-year results-based accountability scorecard. This is just a reflection of, as of December 30th, where OFCY's grants stood in terms of reporting out on the program achievements, outcomes, areas of program quality. And it's really a summary card. I wanted to include the detail, which is the actual mid-year program accomplishments, which follows that page that was received in the packet. And that shares by each strategy the actual number of either the information that's relevant to that strategy. So, for example, for the social-emotional well-being in preschool and early childhood school settings, there are three grants. And the information in there is the absolute information. For the parent engagement support strategy, you will see the information related to, at the mid-year, the number of youth served, the number of adults served, keep going, please, and et cetera. Family resource centers are a strategy. And this is really for your information, because I think so often we're talking about what OFCY is funding in terms of strategies, and they're very, very real programs delivering very real services in the community. When we do the original grant recommendation, of course, it's based upon the strategies that the Planning and Oversight Committee approved and the council adopted. And it's based upon delivering at specific, you know, sites and a projection of youth and adults that would be served in each strategy area. Of course, what we have here is a mid-year reflection of this very special year in the pandemic, in which programs delivered their services through an entirely unexpected scenario. And we are of course continuously challenged, but also aware and impressed of how programs have pivoted to meet the needs of children, youth, and families. So this is really just provided as sort of background resource for you to, again, be familiar with the strategies that are being funded by Oakland Fund for Children and Youth. As you go through that, just really quickly, you'll see comprehensive after-school programs, and they have been working at their school sites, which again are selected based upon higher need or the percentage of children and youth who are qualifying for free or reduced lunch. And they really pivoted. They were not on site but they were pivoting to provide virtual resources or provide support for programming during distance learning. So that would have been classroom supports, that would have been after school support. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the challenges, keep going. And then I just wanted to reflect again, summer programming, you see the programs that are delivering in the community, Boys and Girls Clubs, East Bay Consortium, East Oakland Youth Development, Family Support and Kinship Summer Youth Program, et cetera. Keep going. I don't want to read through these, but I do want you to get a chance because we'll be talking about these strategies again as we talk about the strategic planning effort. Youth development and leadership, you see the type of programming that OFCY is funding. It's everything that reflects highest need communities. It reflects more vulnerable spaces for youth. And these programs pivoted and did do virtual services. And as you keep going, you will see that the youth development programming is a very strong package of 30 some odd programs. Everything from violence prevention to programs and services for children with incarcerated parents, newcomer families, targeting programming for culturally as well as in East and West Oakland. And then the other strategies as you go forward, just go really quickly, have to do with high school student success. So you will see Kids First, College Track, African American Male Achievement Programming, Restorative Justice Programming, and the Mentoring Center working with youth as well. And as well, then the other significant strategy going is just career awareness and employment support, which again is really focused on internships, opportunities for employment, apprenticeships, and programming that can support youth as they seek opportunities and connections to careers. And go to the end. And then I just wanted to go back to the scorecard really quickly. Or we can leave it at that. If you get a chance, take a look at the scorecard. It really reflects program quality, and that will be complete at the full end of the year, as well as participant outcomes. It is important, we believe, to not only capture outcomes such as sites and youth placed in jobs, but also whether or not the youth themselves report that they're better off, whether or not families and parents report that their children are better off. And so we do look at those sorts of outcomes and report them. The outcomes you see here really reflect the summer programming because they completed the survey and the work that went into getting those outcomes. And right now we're in the mid-year part, and the complete scorecard will be provided for the full year programming for this evaluation for the remaining strategy areas. So this is really informational, and we will consider the grant renewal in the next item. And I'm certainly open for any questions on the mid-year report.
Does anyone have any questions? Are people still looking over the report on their own agenda? Should we move on to the next item? What are people feeling?
I'm good. What do we move on to the next item? I'm good.
Right. Well, would just need to check and see if there are any hands raised in terms of attendees for the public has an opportunity to comment on item by item.
Okay. I see two raised hands, but I believe they're still from the okay. One new one is up. Wait, maybe not. We'll give one more call. Does anybody new have any anything to add on this item? I see two hands going down from open forum. So if there's nothing to add, then we will be moving on to item number 5, which is an action, an approval of the grant renewal recommendations for fiscal year 2021 and 2022 programs. Before we get into a motion, Ms. Taylor, is there anything we need to talk about?
I think that we should just talk about the, memo, the report. I hope everybody had an opportunity to review what we're doing and just to provide some just brief highlights. The recommendation is to renew the grants that are included on the list that you see, the attachment would, which would be programming for 149 programs for fiscal year 21-22, including the summer programs that will be starting effective June 1. The two of the programs which are were not able to have programming due to the pandemic in June, in the summer of 2020, have been added back and are up for renewal in this package. So I want to definitely make sure that we, you know, just note some of the things that are different from the renewal from last year. So to make sure that you are fully aware of what's happening, I would like to make a few comments about the funds available, as well as about the emphasis on renewing definitely reflects the work that the programs are able to do within the context of the reality of this year, in which many programs are doing virtual work. They've now, you know, succeeded in planning for that. And nonetheless, of course, there are challenges with the amount of Zoom children and youth are, you know, facing. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're clear that we're not holding the same level of performance anxiety around reaching their projections, as well as the hours that we would want programs to deliver. We're really focused more on programs being able to pivot with their scope of work and how they're doing, and found that the vast majority of programs are going to be able to meet at least one of those benchmarks, but many programs have had to make adjustments, it just depending on the situation. As I mentioned a little bit about, you know, after school programs, but we also are kind of pleasantly surprised that, you know, many programs were able to meet both benchmarks in terms of reaching the children and youth that they expected to reach. They just, most of them couldn't, for example, meet all those hours. You do have a clear pattern of, you know, challenges that programs are facing in terms of, you know, youth experiencing burnout for sure. And so I think programs we have been meeting as grant managers with the programs to sort of to convene around what does in-person services look like, and to support their peer-to-peer learning around returning to in-person services and planning for that. So I think it's very exciting, and people are very hopeful about, you know, those possibilities, while recognizing that, again, there's flexibility is required potentially even in this upcoming year. The other point that I wanted to make, let's see, was that, you know, the revenue allocations are provided by our City of Oakland Finance Department with regard to Kids First revenues. Kids First revenues are a percentage of unrestricted general purpose fund revenues, 3%. And those revenues were projected to decline such that the amount of money actually available for grants projected for this year was $15 million, you know, approximately. And the to make up the difference to support these grants being renewed, we're basically trying to using any grants, any funding that's remaining from prior years. And so the prior year funding will be allocated, and we're recommending that the grant package be approved at a level such that there's actually a 6% reduction in grants from this year altogether, a 6% reduction. But we are using over $2 million in the remaining funding that's actually available from past years. There may indeed be funding available this year, because again, programs may not spend down all the money, and even funding available from last year. And that would also become available for the RFP process that's going to go forward for July 1, 2022 through 2025. And so we use what's available and we carry it forward into the next year. And because of the, you know, major decline in revenues, Kids First is allocated less money, and we're using up as much all of the revenue that we can in terms of what's been audited and can be carried forward and reallocated to direct services for grants. Only 90% of the funding is available for grants. The other 10% pays for the admin, the evaluation, the grant management work, and salaries for staff. So this is pretty much what the report lays out. There are also, let's see, you know, some, there's also information moving past the discussion of performance on each strategic area. And just to sort of highlight how each of the strategic areas have been operating, delivering services, and having impact on children, youth, and families in the community. And that will be reported out in terms of evaluation after the year is concluded. So I can't, of course, go into, you know, each strategic area, but we felt that it was really important to support the POC members having a real sense of what this programming is. We've included the list of grants that are being recommended for renewal. Ooh, are we losing people? or gaining people. The list of grants that are being recommended for renewal is also included in the packet. I do want to just point out the modifications that we wanted to mention, and specifically, I need to mention a correction to the resolution. So before I get to that, the modifications do include school merger of two elementary schools, Community United Elementary and Futures Elementary in East Oakland, and the closure of Vincent Academy. And so there will not be a new grant for Vincent Academy. I did want to correct, I believe it is Parker Elementary School is listed under the comprehensive after-school strategy. So if we go to that section of the chart, which is actually very similar to the resolution, or it will be, you can see that Parker Elementary School is shown here, and Higher Ground is listed as the grantee, as the agency. But Higher Ground has declined the grant for next year. They are going to continue with East Oakland Pride, but they are not going to be doing the lead agency work at Parker Elementary. And my understanding, and we are working with the school district, and would like to substitute Girls Inc. of Alameda County for the lead agency that has been selected by working with the principal of Parker Elementary School for the after-school services there. And so that's a correction to this item. And I would just want you to move after you have discussion and hear public comment, but to make sure that we include that modification. So you're approving the resolution, you're approving the grant renewals with the change from Higher Ground Neighborhood Development Corporation to Girls Inc. of Alameda County at Parker Elementary School. Just to go really quickly to a couple of pie charts that we have. How am I doing for time? Shucks. We did want to just share with you, these are the overall strategy numbers, and then there's a pie chart that's included in the packet If you look at 21-22, you can see it is color coded here, and I hope you're able to see it, but the funding that is dispersed through Oakland Fund for Children and Youth through these 149 grants is shared here by strategy area. So with that, I will stop and ask for questions from the committee, and then ask for you to take public comment, and then ask for a motion or further conversation.
Okay, did any of the committee members have any questions or comments related to the report that Sandy just presented and discussed?
This is Kimberly. Okay. Can I ask a quick question, Sandy? With the mid-year program accomplishments, and if it's in here, my apologies, but are we able to see sort of the demographics, the demographic breakdown of what young people have been served sort of mid-year, has there been change with the pandemic or, yeah.
Yeah, so the mid-year doesn't really, we would have it within the database for each agency, but since these numbers are only after two quarters, we don't focus too much on, a change after one quarter or two quarters of activity. Okay. So we will produce all of that information with the full year of data. It was available obviously with the summer evaluation that actually you did receive, because mm-hmm. that was completed.
Got it.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the committee? If not, I'm gonna open it up to see if any of our attendees had any comments or questions. If so, please raise your hand right now. You'll be called upon. I saw one hand and then it went down. So I don't think that was, actually I do see one. So Monica Montenegro, you have 2 minutes for public comment and or question, and you're unmuted now.
Thank you. I'm Monica Montenegro, the executive director of the East Bay Consortium of Educational Institutions. And we are very thankful for the funding that we have received from OFCY. And I was just wondering about the 6% reduction. Is that across all of the grants? Our current funding was about $75,000, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that I saw the numbers now, and we have about a 5,000 reduction on our grant. And for this particular summer, we're actually hoping to recruit additional students. And just that $5,000 for us means one additional teacher one less teacher that we would be able to hire. So I was just wondering about that. Is it straight across all of the grants? Because I've seen situations in the past where the smaller grants sometimes are not, given such a high percentage of cut or reduction. So that was just my observation and my question.
Thank you. Sandy, I don't know if you're able to respond to that question.
Yes. So to the chair, thank you for referring the question, because I appreciate that. So for this year, what we did decide to do was to do 6% across. Last year, in renewing these grants for the first time, we did 0% up to 50,000. We did 3% up to 125, I believe, and then 6% and 9%. So when we look at this year, it has been an incredibly fluctuating year in terms of the data, so it's really hard to say so-and-so did well or so-and-so didn't, but we did think through that if you do a 6% across, you still have overall an impact on the larger grant of effectively 9% plus
6% less of that, so almost 15%. And then on a smaller grant, you know, let's say it was 3%, it would be 3%, and then now taking a 6%. So it's still an overall impact, but it would have been a much to stagger it again would have been made a much, you know, much larger difference in terms of the impact on larger versus smaller programming. And again, you know, in terms of groups pivoting and doing specific activity, we see that is across the board something that we see that's really happening to have an impact. And so it was just hard for us to, again, do another staggered, which would make the differences more exacerbated.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good. I'm glad that I was able to answer your question. Monica, are there any other comments from our attendees or questions? If not, then and the committee members have no other comments, then we can move forward for a motion. We can call for a motion to.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the motion to accept this with the corrections that, and correct me on this, that Girl Inc. is going to be substituted for the Parker Elementary School. Is that the correct terminology on that?
Yes, Girls Inc. will be the agency for Parker Elementary School.
So they're going to, okay. So I move that with the necessary corrections on that item.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Awesome. So we will go forth and now ask committee members to vote. I'll just go down the list that I see in front of me. Bill Riley.
Yes.
I want to note for record that Ankarita Allen is present.
Yes, my vote is yes.
Jorge Velasco.
Yes.
Kimberly, I am not going to butcher your last name.
Kimberly Aceves, yes.
Okay. Langston Budenhagen.
Yes, indeed.
Pacolia Manigo, I know she was having connection issues.
Yes.
Awesome, great. And then Sophia Guerrero?
Yes.
And then Tassian Kwamalele? Yes. So that has passed for unanimously. Now, I believe we will move to our sixth agenda item, which I honestly believe is just announcements. Trying to pull it up in front of me. Yeah. It's administrative matters and general announcements. And I don't know, Sandra, is this also a time where we may be able to make a comment? Because I definitely wanted to make a comment in regards to the previous comment we heard during open forum.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely have a discussion about it. I did want to point out under announcements to share the screen around some strategic planning plan events and updates. Thank you very much. So I did want to just give a little heads up in around these and also draw your attention to the upcoming May 5th Planning and Oversight Committee meeting and strategic planning subcommittee meetings and planning for May. But
yeah, these are great. And I just wanted to encourage our members, if you haven't already, and your council member has a newsletter, if you should forward the dates to them or the previous flyers that were sent out to us to have them send them out with their monthly or weekly newsletters to the resident, to their constituents, that potentially could help get additional people to log on and to attend. So I wanted to definitely encourage people to do that. And as Sandy said, our May 5th OFCY meeting, to just make sure our calendars are marked accordingly.
Yes, so we expect that we will also have like a public, more of a public comment kind of our focus on strategic planning at the May 5th meeting and then the June meeting. So I think upcoming, the PLC will be seeing more strategic planning updates. And then also then we have dates to sort of to be determined in May for town halls. And so that's being worked on with the subcommittee. And so there'll be more to come.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. If there are no other comments or questions related to that, I really just wanted to quickly, briefly comment on the, at least the comment that the attendee made at the beginning of the meeting. I think that was a very good comment, and definitely note that that we are listening. I guess I was a little confused because I never received that understanding in the meetings that we had of the data. And so I don't know if it was presented in a different way or how it was presented, but I think that is something that we should be aware of. But I just know in our previous OFCY meetings, I didn't walk away with that understanding, but I think we need to be sure that the public is getting the best understanding of what's being presented before them, especially because it's super complex.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's two different things. So,
okay.
And it's definitely presented in the evaluation report. So the absolute numbers are presented because OFCY absolutely, and I don't have that evaluation report in front of me, but, we make sure that we were sharing the absolute numbers, and the highest number of youth served are Latinx children. And so we have the absolute numbers in a table. And we also have the numbers that show the percentage of African-American students as a percentage of African-American children and youth in Oakland. And that is stated that OFCY will serve 33%, for example, of African-American children and youth in Oakland. And it serves, even though the absolute number of Latino children is higher, it really is serving just under 25% of Latino, Latinx children and youth in Oakland. And similarly for Asian children and youth in Oakland. So it's very clearly stated that that's proportionally what's happening in the report. I think the question is whether or not that's important information to provide, because we have been presenting demographic information for many years, and it is easy for people to misconstrue. Oh, you're serving this community, you should be serving this community. And the reality is that your reach is in terms of African American community, children and youth, birth to eight, is actually higher in terms of the community. And so is that relevant information? I think it's a point to be discussed, because I think it's relevant to share that the absolute number of African-American children and youth in Oakland reached is highest. It's 30-some percent versus the percentage of Asian and Latinx children is closer to 25%. So we've been really, focused on trying to present demographic information. And the more you share data, the more questions people are going to have. I kind of agree with her, because originally that was like, it's confusing. This chart is confusing. That's confusing. So we changed the chart. It may still not have been clear enough, but I think as to the validity of providing that information, I would disagree. I think it's important to share. Yeah.
I agree. I definitely think it's important. I just think it's also a very sensitive subject, because we know that there's been a large demographic shift in Oakland, in our city. And there's there's a lot of sensitivity towards what services are being provided to African-American children. So I totally get it. I definitely think all of the data is important and it's valid. So that's just the comment that I wanted to give there. So thank you for providing that clarity and that context. Are there any other questions, comments, concerns, or matters for the order? If not, then this meeting, we can move to be adjourned at 6:57, which I believe is our fastest OFC meeting.
I was going to say, record time out here.
Wait, I can't believe he just adjourned by 7.
Appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you very much. I like it. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Great, bye.
Kate, this is fastest meeting ever. What the heck?
That was very fast.
Wait, and we had a quorum.
I did.
What?
It all worked out.
You got all those attendees, Anna Carita at Pecolia, Sophia, Jorge, yeah. Peter too, right?
I didn't notice if he showed up. I didn't see his name popped up. It didn't mean that it didn't and he disappeared right. again, but I'll check in with him later okay. to see if he
yeah.
popped up and I didn't notice.
Minutes have to reflective. Woohoo! I guess we can go,
yep.
huh?
Yep.
I can let you go. Bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.